Good morning. Today is February 19th, and this is the Education Subcommittee on Education. And we have a wonderful group of legislators here with us this morning. And we have one agency bill to hear. And John, if you want to give us any background before I open the public hearing.
Co-chair Comp, members of the committee, all your meeting materials should be on OLIS. Again, we are here in the Board of Dentistry today, and Mr. Prisby will be doing the presentation. He is the interim executive director as of February 6th, I believe?
7th.
So a couple weeks on the job, but we'll turn it over to them if you guys are ready.
Mr. Prisby, please come and share your extensive background on this subject. And anybody else that you want to bring forward, yes.
Thank you.
And are you okay if the committee asks questions as you go through your presentation?
Co-chair Monroe, co-chair Comp, members of the committee. Of course I am. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Good morning. My name is Stephen Prisby. I'm the interim executive director of the Board of Dentistry, and I've been on the position for 13 days.
That's longer than the governor.
True, sir.
Senator, what was my comment about watching what we say?
Duct tape.
From the board today, I brought Alton Harvey Sr. He's our vice president, and he's been on the board for 5 years. He's one of our public members. Also behind me, if needed, is Dr. Paul Kleinstub. He's our dental director and chief investigator. He's been with the board 25 years this July. Thank
Great.
You.
Welcome.
Thank you. The Board of Dentistry was established in 1887 to regulate the practice of dentistry. In 1946, dental hygiene was established as a licensed profession in Oregon and added to the purview of the board. There are 10 members appointed to this policy-making board and 7 permanent full-time staff. The 10 board members include 6 dentists, one of whom must be a specialist, 2 dental hygienists, and 2 public members. Members of the board are appointed by the governor and confirmed by the Senate. The board's highest priorities are the enforcement, monitoring, licensing, and examination of dentists and dental hygienists in Oregon. The board's identified goal is to protect the public from unsafe, incompetent, or fraudulent practitioners, encourage licensees to practice safely and competently in their best interests of the patients, and educate the public on acceptable and appropriate dental practices. The board is solely supported from application and license renewal fees, permit fees, miscellaneous receipts, penalty fees for late renewals, and civil penalties. 95% of this revenue is from licensees and permit fees. The board last raised fees in 2009. This is a chart showing our performance and our performance measures and how we've done versus our goals. The first performance measure indicates the percent of licensees in compliance with continuing education requirements, and we've achieved that goal with 100%. The second performance measure is average time from receipt of a new complaint to completed investigation where it's ready to be submitted to the board. The established goal was 3.5 months, and we are at 10 months at this time. Number 3, the average number of working days for the receipt of completed paperwork to an issuance of a license, is goal was 7 days, and we're achieving that with 7 days. The number 4, agency overall satisfaction, percentage of customers rating their overall satisfaction with the agency above average or excellent. The goal was 85%, and we are at that as well. Number 5, the board best practices, percent of total of best practices met by the board. We've achieved that goal for 2014. Here's the legislative mandated customer service survey results. And we have all the details on this if needed, if you request it.
Any questions about the graph? Thank you.
The board's 3 major areas of service are licensing and examination. The board licenses dentists and dental hygienists, conducts examinations for 8 different specialties, establishes standards for the use of anesthesia in dental offices, issues four levels of anesthesia permits and certifies dental standards for the use of and certifies dental assistants. Background checks are conducted on all new applicants. As described previously, applicants must pass a written national examination, a clinical examination conducted by a dental testing agency recognized by the board and passes the board jurisprudence examination. 15% of all licenses renewing their licenses each year must be audited for compliance with the board's continuing education requirements. We currently have 3,800 licensed dentists and over 4,200 licensed dental hygienists. We anticipate issuing about 800 new licenses this biennium, almost equally divided between hygiene and dentists. This doesn't increase in more practitioners available because of retirements and others that move out of state and for other lapses of their licenses. We issue licenses through examination by credential and for dental specialists, the ability to be examined by the board in the particular specialty, and then the license is limited to that area of specialties. For example, oral and maxillofacial surgery or pediatric dentistry. Applicants for a general dental license or a dental hygiene license must pass a written examination called the National Boards, which is conducted by the American Dental Association Commission on Dental Education. Applicants must also pass a clinical exam conducted by any state or regional testing agency. We have a table here showing the workload of the agency, and it breaks down each category from the dentist and hygiene license issued to renewed specialty exams and anesthesia permits, and then down to the dental assistants. As you can see, our estimates for the next biennium or the current biennium keep going up in basically every category. And let me know if you have any questions, please.
Yeah, I was going to ask Mr. Prisby, are we keeping up with the demand that is needed, particularly now that we have so many young children that weren't previously insured? Do we have the dentists in the field to help all of us keep good oral health?
Co-Chair Monroe, Co-Chair Comp, and members of the committee, it's an interesting question. I think there's enough licensees, but those that choose to serve that population is part of the issue. So we do have a lot of licensed practitioners, but who decides to serve who based on financial gain and other reasons, that creates a problem.
Interesting. Thank you.
Thank you. If there's any other questions about this chart, I'll continue. Another part of the board's duties is enforcement and monitoring. The board conducts investigations of complaints filed with the board alleging unacceptable patient care or other issues ranging from unprofessional conduct, improper prescribing practices, substance abuse, unauthorized use of auxiliaries, advertising or disciplinary action in other states. The majority of our cases involved allegations of unacceptable patient care. Investigations are also conducted based on reports of malpractice claims that are submitted by insurance companies. Disciplinary actions are reported to the National Practitioners Data Bank and the Healthcare Integrity and Protection Data Bank. Licensees under disciplinary sanction are actively monitored to assure their compliance with the terms of their order, including licensees with substance abuse issues who have long-term treatment and recovery needs.
So can I reach a conclusion that if our dentists in Oregon are practicing in another state and there's malpractice, other states know it since they're part of the national data bank? Or how's our protection from state to state?
Co-Chair Monroe, Co-Chair Comp, members of the committee. Yes, all the information is shared. So through the national network, each state agency or board is aware when there's a claim and has to do with it, whatever their state law deals with it. So we get the updates when there's a malpractice, say it was in Washington State. So it'll open up an investigation on our end to see what we need to do. So we're very much aware.
Thank you.
Thank you. This kind of shows you the little information about the discipline. We usually have about 50 licensees being monitored on a regular basis. During calendar year 2014, we received 249 complaints, and during that time closed 228 case investigation. Disposition of those cases are shown in the table below. And bear in mind that the numbers don't equal the same because we can discipline someone for a number of infractions and lump them together. But there's a breakdown for the cases we closed. 55% were dismissed, 28% had a letter for concern, and 18% had disciplinary action. Another function of the board is administration, and administrative activities include implementation of board policy, communication and collaboration with the professional associations, the School of Dentistry, and other educational programs, related licensing agencies such as the State Board of Pharmacy, the Board of Medical Examiners, and the Board of Denture Technology, in addition to the State Boards of Dentistry in other states. Administration also includes legislative activities, budget development, and monitoring and staffing. A major component of administration is carrying out the board's primary goal of communicating with the licensees and the public. This includes maintenance of our website, production of newsletters each year, and presentations throughout the state to students, licensees, and the public about the board and its activities. Our plans for accomplishing our goals in the 2015-2017 biennium include continue to promote and encourage participation in the statewide HPSP diversion program for licensees with substance abuse addictions, continue to promote and encourage participation in the volunteer dentist dental hygienist program to increase access to quality dental health care, continue to use the OBD/OAGD mentoring program as one of the avenues to resolve disciplinary cases, continue to promote Oregon prescription drug monitoring program to all licensees, review our specialty exam process and ensure the exams are valid and reliable, continue to utilize our website, newsletter, and personal presentations to communicate board policies and expectations, refine our online renewal process, fully implement use of electronic forms for all payments, continue to collect data on the ethnic and racial makeup of our licensees and work with policymakers, educators, and students to encourage a representative diversity in the dental workforce, refine participation in the Healthcare Workforce Initiative Project to address the issue of healthcare workforce shortages and access to care, and continue to implementation of more electronic media for communication and board functions.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Mr. Co-Chair.
A few years ago, it seems to me the dentists had a special program for addiction. For dealing with, those that had a substance abuse problem. And it was just, seems to me it was just for dentists, and then that changed over time. Do you remember what happened?
Sure, it segued into the HPSP program, where we monitor these people confidentially. So it's a statewide program, and so our own program segued right into that. So it's the same thing where someone comes to us, a licensee with an issue, some kind of addiction issue. They can contact us. We have a dedicated investigator staffer works with them, and they put them and can divert them into the HPSP program so they get the help and assistance they need. But it's not public where they get disciplined unless they don't meet the requirements of the program.
Madam Chair.
Yes, please.
Medical people have access to drugs that the average population doesn't have, and so sometimes there are incidents of addiction, and it's really important that those addiction needs are met and that those people are given the help that they need. Otherwise, they're going to be thrown out of the business, thrown out of their livelihood, and that's so I'm glad that you're still working at that and trying to give those people the treatment they need without them completely losing their livelihood.
Exactly. Thank you. Okay.
And good morning, Senator Roblin. We're on page 9, I believe.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
So this next slide shows what we're proposing within the budget. This is the policy option packages. And part of the presentation today, Claire Clark from our DAS budget analyst will be going over this in more detail. But here's an overview of it and what we're looking for. So the different packages, the package 100 is for an increase in the national meetings. And basically, this is just covering what we've already had in the budget. But because it's to rectify an accounting issue that was presented by the OBD accountants with DAS. So before this, the revenue, we would get reimbursed for meetings, and the revenue would offset that expense. Now we have to call it as its own expense. So it's an accounting issue. It's really not adding or changing anything to previous budgets.
And we have a question, Mr. Prisby.
Sure.
Senator, Representative Springer.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. $30,000 for biennium, right?
So correct.
$15,000 a year. Is that for out-of-state travel or in-state travel and simply your board meetings coming together? It seems like a slightly high number.
Co-Chair Monroe, Co-Chair Kump, members of the committee, it is for the 2 years, but these trips are part of what we've always done. The different committee, these meetings are the AADB, AADA, NURB. These are acronyms for American Administrator Dental Boards and the National Examiner. I can't remember the other one, but I can get you the names. So these meetings are usually based in Florida or Maryland or Chicago. And just because of the nature, and the board members have the authority to travel, and in the past, the executive director, yes, these trips can be expensive, but the numbers are in line, and this is only for the out-of-state travel.
So does the whole board go, or is there some picking and choosing just because we've always done it?
Sure. Co-Chair
that
Monroe.
That doesn't necessarily mean we're doing the right thing, and maybe we are.
Co-Chair Monroe, Co-Chair Comp, members of the committee, Ms. Springer. We can look into that. These are people that the associations reimburse us for majority of these expenses. So it just comes back and forth. In some trips, the agency makes money because they reimburse for a higher amount and pay honorariums per day. And it's higher than what we pay our board members for their days of service. So we can look closer into that. But I think the net of it is that it's not that much of an expense when we look at what they do, and we need the representation because Oregon really is known throughout the nation as a leader in, with our boards and our dental health care.
Thank you.
Thank you. Package 101, the package of that, purpose of this package is to allow the board to hire an additional full-time dental investigator. For the past 20 years, the board has hired independent contractor dental consultants and investigators on a part-time basis to assist with investigation of dental cases. The process has not been able to keep up with the complaints, as well as the complexity of each of these complaints. The current board dental investigator, who is the chief investigator, Dr. Kleinstub, has been with us for 24 years and is expected to retire in the next few years. We will need a new person to be brought in and be trained so that a seasoned dental investigator can take the helm and be the chief investigator down the road. How this will be achieved, we wish to raise the fees on the licensees, and that would be increasing the fee from $315 to $390 for the dental licenses, and for hygiene would be increased from $155 to $230. Policy package, 103, is to cover the fees and cover the total cost. And I think Claire's going to break this down in more detail in a second. Our goals going forward continue to be, doing what I said earlier, Our challenges going forward. We'll be reducing the complaint investigation backlog and trying to get the time to complete a case down from 10 months back towards our stated goal of 3.5 months. Filling the vacant executive director position. Filling the new full-time dentist investigator position with a competent candidate and then training that new individual. Fulfilling all the scheduled board outreach access and events. And our staffing changes within the next few years. 4 of our 7 positions are within the age of retirement currently. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Okay.
Madam Chair.
I think I'll wait until Claire goes, and she might address my question.
Okay. Senator Monroe.
Yeah, when you're proposing fee increases like that, is your total membership informed that you're looking at a fee increase, and do they have an opportunity to reflect on that, whether or not they think that's acceptable?
In the past, I'm not 100% Chairman Monroe, Chairman members of the committee, in the past, I'm not sure how it was communicated in advance. We can find out for you. I know because we're just going through the stages and the process and the hearings, we obviously wouldn't have told our licensees that we're thinking about it until we have some more concrete information. But we can for sure do that. I know we've been in, the previous executive director was in contact with the ODA, and I don't know about other associations, but I knew the ODA supported our fee increase for the purpose of hiring a full-time dental investigator. Thank you.
Thank you,
Mr. Co-Chair. Representative Springer.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. So your fees now, I looked through here and I didn't see it. Maybe I missed it. Are they annual or biennial?
Co-Chair Monroe, Co-Chair Comp, members of the committee, the license renewal fees is for a biennium, so it's for 2 years.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Follow up?
Yes, please.
And I noticed, and this was what I was thinking Claire might be getting to, and this has got to be hard. You're on the job 13 days, and you're sitting in four ways and means doing this, and I appreciate that, and you're doing quite well. So you mentioned that you have an investigator, and I went through this report and I was looking through to find out how many FTE you have. I didn't see it, but I bet Claire's going to make sure that's covered. as I looked through here, you mentioned that you have your investigator, one FTE investigator who will be retiring, and you wanted to bring somebody else on board to shadow, if you will, that person for when that retirement takes effect. But I didn't hear, and maybe you said it and I missed it, that was a temporary position. I didn't hear you say temporary, so it looks like we're going to grow then and have, after that retirement, have yet another position we need to fill. Can you help me understand that?
Sure. Co-Chair Monroe, Co-Chair Comp, Representative Springer. So in the transition period, we would hope to phase out the part-time consultants. So that would be part of the shift of the fees. It will take some time as we bring on the full-time. But yes, the plan would be to bring on a full-time. So our FTEs currently is 7, and we'd go to 8. And Claire will address that in a little more detail once everything shifts and changes. And then once we go to 8 and that person's efficient, productive, and all that, we would be able to get rid of the part-time consultants. Does that answer your question?
I'm going to follow up with Claire, but that was a good start. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Harvey, did you want to have any comments for us this morning?
Yes, thank you, Co-Chair Comp and Co-Chair Monroe and the rest of the committee. My name is Alton Harvey, Sr. I suppose that could be two ways. And the first thing, when I was appointed as a public member, I was told, I was instructed that my specific duties was to protect the safety of the public. But after arriving and seeing the workings of it, I found that my position was more dual than single. And that means I have to protect the integrity of the institution as well. Because if you leave one go astray, then the other was not going to follow. So I think my role is to advocate for the public and make sure that the profession is, the standard of the profession is accurate. And we do need very swiftly. I've served this, I'm in my 5th year. I serve as the vice president. And we are in need for a investigator like yesterday, if that's appropriate to say. And we're doing well as we can with what we have. But I think you and the committee and the whole state would like us to do exceedingly well. And with that kind of assistance, I'm kind of sure that we could send you that kind of satisfaction. Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Representative Huffman.
Thank you. Claire, if you could focus a little more on the fee increase and the justification for it, because I and you did a great job, nothing against you, but I kind of missed if it was kind of glossed over. It seems like a very hefty increase for adding part of a full-time investigator, and what I heard it was going to pay for. So I'm going to want to hear some justification further. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, thank you, and I appreciate your patience this morning. And if this is the first time both of you have ever testified before the legislature, you did a great job, and we appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, Ms. Clark. For the people at the dentistry board, we've had an ongoing rhetorical comment about the picture on your screen, and the good senator from Coos Bay would like to point out it is which lighthouse?
Bandon.
Bandon Lighthouse.
Right near a golf course.
Right near a golf course, and it does not show an airport, but I'm sure there's one behind
nearby.
Madam Chair, I just knew Claire was going to rush back to the office yesterday and change
that picture
to Crown Point or Multnomah Falls.
Ms. Chair, I'd actually like to commend Claire for holding firm. Shows that she's a dedicated public employee who does not fall for force from,
to the pressure.
Right.
Higher up.
That's
succumb
right.
Pressure.
Okay, I'm losing.
Good job, Claire.
I'm losing control. Claire, would you please start?
Good morning, Co-Chair Monroe, Co-Chair Comp, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Claire Clark from the Chief Financial Office. So this morning, I will give one last presentation for this committee for the Board of Dentistry. And then I believe you will actually address some education budgets next week.
Wow.
And see a new staff person from DAS.
Okay. Our little comedy show up here. We're not Saturday Night Live, but we're getting close.
Okay, so the governor's budget for the Board of Dentistry provides the resources necessary for the board to shorten the average duration of investigations. They're currently at 10 months, and we'd like to reduce them to 3.5 months, which is the agency's key performance measure goal. The board is situated within the public safety outcome area of the 10-year plan for Oregon, and it helps ensure Oregonians are safe by ensuring patients receive quality dental services and by setting high standards for licensure. So this is the chart that shows the expenditure and FTE history of the board. From 2011-13 to the 2015-17 governor's budget. For 2015-17, the governor's budget for the board is $3.1 million, which is a 17.1% increase from the 2013-15 legislatively approved budget. The 2015-17 budget includes $273,000 for the addition of one full-time dental investigator and some additional funds to address salary compression within the agency. This position was budgeted at a step 9. Typically, we budget these at step 2, but due to the need for this investigator position to have a dental degree to complete this work, we needed to raise the budgeted amount for this position. This gives the board some flexibility in its recruitment to make sure that it gets a qualified employee. And then some additional funds were built in based on the recommendation of the DAS Chief Human Resources Office to ensure that the chief investigator position who would oversee this person would be paid commensurate to those types of duties. So again, that is $273,000 for that whole package, including the funds for the investigator position and to address salary compression in the agency.
Okay, can we just pause for more? Any questions for Claire on that committee?
So,
yes.
Madam Chair, thank
yes,
you.
Yes, Representative Bethman.
So based on the number of memberships, sorry, I don't have a calculator in my, it's Thursday morning live. So so the $75 biennial increase per licensee, and you've got roughly 8,000 licensees that would affect between the two categories. What's the total increase? And then the follow-up on that, the ending fund balance and how many months is that currently?
Sure. So currently, so for the Co-Chair Monroe, Co-Chair Comp, Representative Huffman, the ending balance for the current biennium is at about $625,000, which is equal to 4.9 months of operating expenses. With the fee increase and the additional expenses to add the position and salary expenditure limitation, the ending balance for 2015-17 will be $651,000, which is still equal to about 5 months of operating expenses. We selected to put the fee increase at this level to ensure that that the board had enough revenue to cover the extra costs for this position, and also to make sure that the board had enough revenues going forward so that they could be sustained through 2017-19 as well.
So follow up?
Yes, follow up, please.
So the $273,000, was that a biennial figure also?
Yes, it was.
Okay. So the other $300,000+ then for the biennium, the difference between the 273 and the increase in fees, which would bring in, I think, around $600,000 biennially in round figures, that is going...
Next slide.
Okay, that's going to bump up the base so that it'll carry them through the 17, like you were saying.
Representative Huffman, that's correct. I'd also like to point out that even at the current service level budget for the Board of Dentistry, if we made no changes to their positions, they would still need a fee increase to support their operations. So there's a little bit extra revenue there because the board does need more revenue just to maintain the current service level budget.
Quick follow-up.
Please follow up.
So were you involved in the, clearly you weren't, you're too new. Were you involved in the conversations on the fee increase, and was 75 just a nice round number when maybe 60 would have done it?
Co-Chairs Representative Huffman, I was there for this process. I did spend a lot of time working with Patrick Bratz, the former executive director, on setting the appropriate level for this fee increase. So my goals in setting the fee increase were twofold. I wanted to cover the cost of the additional investigator, and I wanted to make sure that the board would not be coming back to you in 2017-19 for another fee increase. So the $75 level is it's sort of a balancing act to make sure that they have those goals met without collecting too much revenue. So I looked at projected increase in licensees. I looked at past revenue trends for the board to try to create a balance between to set the fee level.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to make sure that the next time I sit in the dental hygienist chair in July, I could explain why her licensure mm-hmm. fees were going up so that she didn't poke and prod and hurt me too badly. So,
Representative Huffman, if you have a dental hygienist that does that, you need to change. Just a minute. Representative Springer, and then Co-Chair Monroe, and then Senator Devlin. Roblin.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. In looking through the documents, I have not yet found, and I may have missed, where the goal of reducing some of those part-time positions that you mentioned earlier, Mr. Prisby, I haven't seen that articulated here. My concern is, if it isn't here, that's something that's just maybe going to go by the wayside. So have we talked about that anywhere in the documents, that goal of maybe eliminating some of those part-time positions that you said earlier? Or did I misunderstand that?
Co-Chair, it's Representative Springer. I'm not sure that I understand your question. I am not familiar with an effort to reduce
part-time. Yes, I was going to say,
let me clarify. Okay.
Chair Comp, Representative Springer, I think what the representative is asking about is the contract investigators that you have part-time to help with the backlog of investigations. The discussion was that in hiring this, and if you add this investigator position over time, once that individual is properly trained and able to handle investigations, the contract investigators would no longer be needed. Is that correct? I think that's what
you're you made
questioning.
The question sound so much better than I did. Thank you.
Co-Chair Monroe, Co-Chair Kump, members of the committee, yes, that's the plan. Our current chief investigator, Dr. Kleinstub, closes dramatically more cases than our part-time consultants. So that's why we fully support this added increase to hire a competent and productive new full-time investigator that will replace Dr. Kleinstub when he chooses to retire, so that that level of productivity can raise up to Dr. Kleinstub's level, because the consultants do a great job, but they're part-time and they're only in the office 10 to 20 hours a week, and they can only get so much done with that kind of schedule.
Okay, one last follow-up.
Yes, thank you. In 13 days, you probably wouldn't have, in all fairness, the opportunity to know this. My concern with not seeing that reflected anywhere is that thought is going to be lost 2 years from now when we're having this discussion again. So I don't know if we need to maybe entertain a budget note to reflect the context of that goal. But that's certainly something that I would like to see somewhere in documentation, other than just a great effort and a good idea that I'm sure we'll all forget if every single one of us are sitting at this dais in 2 years having the same conversation. I'm sure we'll forget, let alone the new people.
Thank you. And John's making a note, and Senator Monroe and I will definitely review this with the co-chairs. Yeah. Senator Monroe.
Yeah. In the testimony on your performance indicators, the one that where you were not meeting your goal was in the length of time it took you to complete an investigation. It seems to me it was 10 months something, and your goal was 3.5 months. And so that would be the justification for having an additional full-time investigator. And I can see where a full-time investigator, that's all that person does, would be a much more efficient than using several part-time investigators and plugging them in. So that would be the primary justification for the fee increase, fee increases as well. And you said that would still leave you at the end of the next biennium at about 5 months. And that's in the ballpark that we're looking for as well. So I just want to make sure, I'm just summarizing, I just want to make sure I had full understanding of the reason for the fee increase and the justification for it being that amount and so on. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Senator Roblin.
Yeah, a couple of comments. One, I assume you're going to continue to have the part-time people as you train the other person and to try to get that down to the amount that we can keep. So in this biennium, you may still have those part-time people. I really like the idea of putting a budget note that we think about that as the future goes on. The bigger one was, though, that I think, Claire, from the ending fund balance that's there now to the projected one is actually going down a little bit. Very close. I mean, they were very close to the same
Senator
number.
Senator Roblin, yes, they were very close.
So I'm pleased that you chose not to go to $76. I would ask it the opposite way that Senator Representative Fruffman did. Instead of rounding it up a little, you rounded it down so that we kept that as an appropriate increase of $75 as opposed to $76. So, and noted that in the understanding of the ending fund balance.
Thank you. Claire, did you want to finish up your presentation?
I would be happy to. I just wanted to, I think we covered a lot of what I was going to mention, but one other issue that I wanted to address was the policy package for those national conferences that the executive director and some board members do attend. I wanted to emphasize that it corrects an omission in the accounting of the budget. The $30,000 are all funds that are reimbursed to the board, which is why they did not appear in the board's budget in the past. There was a misunderstanding that whether or not those needed to actually show in the board's expenditure limitation. This package just corrects that error and shows those expenditures. So those are all reimbursed to the board. I think that we did in fact cover all of the revenue changes for the board for this biennium that we are proposing. So I will just move on to my final slide. So the To summarize, the governor's budget for the Board of Dentistry supports current services and adds the full-time dental investigator position to assist the board with decreasing the average duration of their investigations from 10 months to 3.5 months. The budget proposes increasing fees to maintain current services and to cover the costs of this additional position. And that's everything I have for you.
Thank you. Thank you. I think you better run while you can. And really appreciate, yeah, your all your work. And Claire, don't hesitate to come back if you miss us. And Dr. Kleinstub, thank you for your years of service in doing the investigations. Yes, we really appreciate it because Representative Huffman is real sensitive to pain. So.
I just couldn't miss the point, Madam Chair. Thank you that you have chosen such a great picture, and I hope that you've encouraged your other members to do the same as they come forward to present their budgets.
I believe they all have the same picture.
It's the same picture.
Okay, thank you. You may leave your positions, and
thank you.
Next week. John, do you have the crystal ball, or do we need Doug to tell us about next week?
Chair Comp, members of the committee, I just did a quick check. It looks like at the start of next week, you guys are doing an education system overview is what's on the agenda. So you'll be looking at getting to the education program finally.
We've moved through this rather quickly. Senator Thompson.
I took a look at OLIS for next week, and I couldn't bring up any material, so we could do some homework this weekend. Will there be any material on OLIS to look at next week?
We can check
I'll
with
have
Doug.
To look into
yeah.
That. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll check
All
with
right.
Doug. And I was going to make some, you know, closing remarks, but I'm going to leave it where it sits. And thank, yes, thank all the agency, all the boards that we've heard. It's always interesting to hear something other than education. I know our new members are anxious to, oh, that would be a pun, sink their teeth into it. But this committee always is very diligent and thoughtful in their questions, and we just appreciate everybody's time. With that, I'm going to quit talking. We are adjourned, and Julie's going to turn off the blue button.